السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to do سورة الأنعام آيات 116 to 121 today. Inshallah, we'll start off with the word meanings. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آيات 116. Wa and in if tutia you obey. Itaat is the root word, and that means obedience, to obey. Ta in the beginning means you. So, tutia, you obey akthara. Akthar means most. Man, whom. Fi, in. Al-arudi. Al means the. And arudi, earth. Yudilluka. So, this is actually yudilluna, but it becomes yudillu when we add the suffix ka at the end. So, dalal is the root word, and that means straying. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is third person. It's in the third person, and una, that would have been at the end, means this is plural. So, it means they lead astray. So, yudillu, they will lead astray, ka, you, on, from, sabil, path, Allahi, of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In, not, yattabi'una, they follow. Taba'a is the root word, and that means to follow. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural. So, yattabi'una, they follow. Illa, except. Adhan, al means the. Dhan means assumptions. So, note that the word in here does not mean if, it means not, because it's followed by illa shortly afterwards in the ayah. So, in means not. Yattabi'una, they follow. Illa, except. Adhan, the assumptions. Wa, and in, not. Again, this in means not because it's followed by the word illa afterwards. So, in, not, hum, they, illa, except, yakhrusoon, they guess. Inna, indeed, rabbaka, rabb, lord, ka, yours, huwa, he is, a'lamu, most knowing. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. It comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge. Adding an alif to the beginning adds more emphasis on whatever is being said. So, a'lamu, he is most knowing. Man, who, yadillu, he goes astray. Again, dalal is the root word, which means to go astray. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So, yadillu, he goes astray. On, from, sabil, path, he, his. Wa, and, huwa, he alone. A'lamu, is most knowing. Bil muhtadin, be, with, al, the, muhtad, comes from the word huda, which means guidance. Muhtad is the one who obtains guidance. An ina ending makes this word plural. So, bil muhtadin, of those who are guided, or with those who are guided. Fakulu. Fa in the beginning means so or then. Kulu. This is a command, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when He orders this. Okay, so He's telling everybody this. فَكُلُوا فَسَوْكُلُوا, you all eat. مِمَّا, مِن means from. Ma, what? So this is a compound word made up of min and ma. Mimma, from what? Zukira, was mentioned. Ismu, name. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alay, upon. He, it. In, if. Kun, are. Tum, you. Bi ayatihi, be with ayat. Verses or signs, he, his, mu'mineen, believers. Mu'min means a believer. It comes from the word iman, which means to believe or have faith. An ina ending makes this word plural. So mu'mineen, ones who believe. Wa, and ma, what? La, for. Kum, all of you. Allah. This is a compound word. An means that. La, not. Ta'kulu, you all eat. Ukul is the root word. Alif, gaf, lam, and that means to eat. Ta in the beginning means you. So ta'kulu, you all eat. Mimma, min, from. Ma, what? Dhukira, was mentioned, was pronounced. Ismu, name. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alay, upon. He, it. Wa, and qad, in fact. Fasala, he explained openly. He explained clearly. La, to, kum, all of you. Ma, what? Harama, he made haram. He prohibited. He made unlawful. Alay, upon. Kum, all of you. Illa, except. Ma uttirirtum. Ma, what? Uttirirtum, you are compelled or you are forced. Ili, towards. He, it. Wa, and. Inna, indeed. Kathiran, many. La yudilluna. La means surely. Yudilluna, they will lead astray. Be, because of or with. Ahwa'i, this means desires or lusts, him, theirs. Be with ghayr, out, ilm, knowledge. Inna, indeed, rabbaka, rabb, lord, master, creator, sustainer, ka, yours, huwa, he alone, a'lamu, is most knowing. Bil mu'tadin, be with, al means the, and mu'tad means somebody who openly disobeys. Okay, and ina ending makes this word plural. So, bil mu'tadin, with those who transgress, with those who cross all limits in disobedience. Wa, and dharu, you all leave. This is a command also, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when He says this. It's plural, we know, because it ends in wawalif. So wadharu, and you all leave. Zahira, apparent or outward. Al-ithmi, al means the, ithm, sin. Wa, and batina, batin means hidden or inward. Who, it's. Inna, indeed. Alladina, those who. Yaksibuna, they earn. Kasaba is the root word, and it means to earn. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yaksibuna, they earn. Al-ithma, the sin. Sayujizona, sa, soon. And then yujizona, jiza is the root word, and it means to reward, to recompense. And ya starts out with a dhamma, so we know this word is passive, and una ending makes it plural. So So sayujazona, soon they will be rewarded. Soon they will be recompensed. Bima, be because of ma, what, ganu, they were, yokatarifun, they commit or they earn. Wa and la, do not, takulu, you all eat, mimma, min from, ma, what, lam, not, yudhkar, is mentioned. Dhikr is the root word and it means to remember, to mention. Like when we say we are doing the dhikr of Allah, that we're mentioning His name. So yudhkar starts out with a ya and it's in the third person. It's passive, right? Because it has a dhamma. So yudhkar is mentioned. Ismu, name. Allahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi, upon, he, it. Wa and innahu. Inna, indeed, hu, it. La fisq, la, surely, fisq, disobedience, crossing limits, sin. Wa and inna, indeed, ash-shayateen, the devils, la yuhuna, la, surely, yuhuna, they do, wahi, wahi is the root word, and ya in the beginning, and una ending tells us that this word is in the third person and plural. So la yuhuna, surely they indicate, or surely they inspire, they do wahi. Ila to awliya'ihim, awliya, friends, partners, protectors, guardians. So him at the end means them. So awliya'ihim, they're close friends. لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ لِي, so that يُجَادِلُوا, they argue with, or they dispute with, كُمْ, all of you. Wa and in, if, أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ, إِطَاع means to obey. So أَطَعْتُمُوا, you all obey, هُمْ, them. إِنَّكُمْ, إِنَّ, indeed, كُمْ, all of you. لَمُشْرِكُونَ, لَ means surely. And shirk means to associate partners with Allah. Meem in the beginning makes this word a noun. So mushrik means someone who associates partners with Allah. And una ending makes this word plural. So la mushrikun means surely ones who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We learned in the last ayah that we covered last week that the words of our Lord have been completed with credibility and justice, and His words cannot be changed. He hears and knows everything. Inshallah. Now we'll learn some more points that are really important. Beginning with ayah number 116. وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and if you obey most of the people on earth, if you follow what they do, يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they will lead you away from the way of Allah. If you obey others, instead of following the example of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not let you follow the right path to Allah. Now, that makes us wonder why people would have an issue with us trying to follow the right path. And that's because the majority of people in this world are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to change their way of thinking, so they prefer to follow their desires instead of obeying Him. People who don't want to follow the restrictions that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end up going astray. They just want to do whatever they feel like doing. And what happens if you listen to them and obey them? They will lead you astray too. And how are they, the people who lead others astray? إن يتبعون إلا الظن. They do not follow anything besides their assumptions. They don't have knowledge. So they just assume things and follow whatever they believe. They come up with things without any proof from the Quran or Hadith and do whatever they think is acceptable. وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. And they preach nothing but falsehood. They don't know the facts. They just guess what they think is right and they end up doing it. That's how the majority of the people are. So why would we want to follow the majority? It doesn't make sense to follow them because what they follow is not Islam. And most of the people do not follow the right path. So just because a lot of people are doing something does not make it right. And we must figure out what the truth is and follow that. A lot of things are being normalized now that are totally against Islam. But we must remember that we cannot justify doing anything wrong just because we see a lot of people doing it. It doesn't make it acceptable. Even when we tell our kids not to do something bad, we might hear them say, but everybody's doing it, right? And to us, it doesn't make sense that they want to do something just because everyone's doing it. So we should apply that rule to ourselves too. Just because we see a lot of people doing something doesn't mean that it's acceptable. The Quran tells us not to follow the majority of people because they will mislead you. So whenever we have to do something, we should decide what to do based on what the haqq is, what the truth is. It doesn't matter what people are doing, because there are all kinds of people out there. And a lot of them are ignorant when it comes to knowledge of the Quran. They just don't know. So it wouldn't make sense to do what they're doing. If we learn about the lives of the prophets, we find out that the majority of people opposed them. And their enemies were always greater in number than the people who ended up following them. If we think about Nuh alayhi salam, there were very few people who listened to him. It was just the people who got on the boat with him, out of everyone. And the rest of them all rejected him. Same thing happened with Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam invited his people to the truth, they expelled him from the land. The only people who accompanied him were his wife, Sarah, and Lut alayhi salam. So we should know that it's not sensible to be impressed by the majority of people and to just start following them. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ يُدِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Indeed, your Lord knows best those people who have strayed from His way. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And He knows best those who are on the right path. Sometimes people say things about others that are not true, like so-and-so is not on the right path or whatever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is on the right path and who isn't. He knows best. And even if someone has gone astray, He knows exactly why that person lost his or her way. And if they went that way on purpose, thinking that the orders of Allah don't matter, as if they're not worth following, astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when people don't follow His orders just because they want to fit in with their friends or to the group of people they enjoy spending time with. So because that is the reason why a lot of people go astray, He knows about their situation too. He knows about everyone, why someone has gone astray and whatever situation they're in. Sometimes people actually admit that they don't want to learn the Quran because they don't want to implement its teachings in life. They think that they can get away with it on the Day of Judgment just by saying that they don't know, they never learned or knew, so they couldn't implement it. But they don't realize that it's wrong not to learn his orders in the first place, and then not implementing them is another sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those who have gone astray and those who are rightly guided. فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. So eat of that on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has been pronounced. This is a simple rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us regarding foods that we eat. He says to eat whatever the name of Allah is mentioned on. We can eat the meat on which his name is pronounced on. إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you truly believe in his revelations. This means that it's really important to eat zabiha if we consider ourselves believers. We studied the details of everything that we can eat already and what we can't eat in Surah Al-Ma'idah much earlier. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply tells us to only eat zabiha meat. These orders were followed in the lives of Muslims in Makkah. Okay, they applied even there, even before they migrated to Medina, because there were times where a person would accept Islam, just one family member, and the rest of the family wouldn't. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to eat only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name was pronounced on, because that believer could not eat what the whole rest of the family continued to eat, according to whatever they used to eat before from the times of Jahiliyyah. Because if the rest of the family was non-believing, they didn't follow the rules of Allah. وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And what is with you that you do not eat that on which Allah's name has been pronounced? This means that people cannot make haram things halal for themselves, and they can't make halal things haram. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that something is halal, that it's lawful, and his name has been mentioned on it while slaughtering it, we can't say that it's not halal, because we don't have the right to change any of his rules. لَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. When he has clearly explained in detail to you what is forbidden. We have clearly been told that haram are the dead animals, blood, swine, things that are sacrificed for others besides in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn from hadith that predatory animals are also forbidden, and birds that prey on others, they are all forbidden. So we can find out clearly what halal is and what isn't. So we can't try to change the rules. Whatever has been slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the animal's blood flows according to how we are supposed to slaughter an animal, it's halal to eat. Bukhari and Muslim hadith tell us that when Allah's name is said while slaughtering an animal and the blood flows properly, you can eat it. So we shouldn't object to eating anything that's halal. And we should remember that whatever animals are lawful to eat, we did not have the right to slaughter it or eat it when it was a living animal, because we can't just take a random animal and just slaughter it for our food. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the permission to eat it according to his rules. We make that animal lawful for ourselves when we say Allah's name when it's being slaughtered. Otherwise, we don't have the right to take an animal's life, just like we don't have the right to take another person's life, because we don't own the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. They all belong to Him. So the only way that we can make the animals halal for ourselves is by slaughtering them according to His orders, and using them and eating them according to how He instructed us. They belong to Him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. He nurtured them, sustained them, and made them grow. And He made their meat capable of being used. So only He is the Malik, the owner. And He has given us the right to eat them. So we can consume them, but according to His laws, since He is the owner. Whatever animal or ways of sacrifice He has not permitted, we cannot use for food. And this is what we should explain to a non-Muslim when they ask why we can't eat certain things. It's simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik. He is the owner. So we eat the animals according to His laws. And saying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the animal isn't just a tradition that we follow just because we've been doing it. Instead, we are actually acknowledging that He is that animal's owner, and we are using that animal's meat for food by the permission of Allah, according to how He ordered us. That's why we pronounce His name when we slaughter the animal. The second reason why we say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on an animal while slaughtering it is to thank Him for it. Because we didn't have the right to take that animal's life for our food, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to use them as food according to His instructions. And because of that permission, we will not be seized on the day of judgment for taking the lives of so many animals. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us permission. Nobody is allowed to take the life of an animal except according to His rules when we do it for food. So He has explained everything that's halal and whatever isn't. Illa, except. Maturirtum ilay. In the case of extreme helplessness. This means that if someone is about to die due to starvation, they can eat a little bit of the haram to survive. That's if there's nothing halal available. Only then, that little bit of whatever is normally forbidden becomes lawful for that person. Only as much as is needed to survive. But what happens? وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا لَيُضِلُّونَ بِأَحْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And in fact, many do mislead people by their appetites, unchecked by knowledge. They follow their desires and eat whatever they want to eat, and they lead others astray without any knowledge. They make the forbidden things lawful for themselves. Things that are not halal, they say are lawful. And the lawful things that we are allowed to eat, they say are forbidden. They confuse people about the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu bil mu'tadin. Indeed, your Lord knows best those who transgress. He knows the extremists. Now, this word, extremist, doesn't mean what we normally hear it being used as, because mu'tadin means people who go to extremes. They cross all limits in disobedience. So they don't follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cross the limits. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ And leave all sin, whether open or secret. Stop committing all kinds of sins. So we can't take any sins lightly. If people try to convince you that it's okay to commit small sins, that they're no big deal, as long as you avoid the bigger sins, they're wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to stay away from sins that are committed openly or things that are done when alone. And to stay away from sins that are big and ones that are not so big. All kinds of sins. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to a person who committed the batin sins, meaning the hidden sins, you were ashamed of doing this in front of people, but you were not embarrassed. You weren't ashamed of doing it in front of me. A lot of times, people avoid doing things or saying things in front of their children or their friends because they don't want them to judge them. But aren't they afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He watches us all the time. He knows everything we're doing. So how can anyone be more embarrassed of doing something wrong in front of others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to committing sins or doing anything wrong? Likewise, any deeds of the heart are batin too, because they're hidden. Nobody knows about them, right? Anything that we feel, nobody knows. When people make negative assumptions about others, or they hold grudges against others, any negative feeling, like hatred or showing off, these are all sins of the heart. These feelings come from inside, so they are batin, and we must avoid committing sins that come from within the heart. We should be pure inside and out as Muslims. Our zahir and batin should be the same. Another example of a secret or a batin sin is when people have secret friendships with people of the opposite gender. And these days, a lot of people say that they don't do anything wrong because they're not hiding it from others. They're doing it out in the open. So it's not hidden. It's not a secret friendship. So it's not wrong. But remember that ظاهر الإثم is also wrong. So doing it openly before others without concealing is wrong too. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in this ayah. So we have to take these orders seriously. We have to understand them properly so we know what to do when it comes to sins that we think are okay to commit just because everybody else is doing them, or things that we feel inside, feelings or negative emotions that we hide inside that others don't know about. We can't think that sins are acceptable if they're done openly, as long as they're not hidden. They're still wrong, even if they're done out in the open. And it's not acceptable to commit sin secretly when a person would be embarrassed of doing those things in front of other people. Okay? We should be embarrassed of doing them when we're alone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Right? We should be ashamed of doing them. Both things are wrong. Okay, doing them openly in front of people or doing them secretly. When asked to define what sin means, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It's a doubtful action that you would not want people to find out about. It wavers in your chest and you wish to keep it hidden from others." That's how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us, and He clearly explained how we can avoid sins. He ordered us to stay away from people who take religion as an amusement and play. And now He tells us to leave sins, the apparent and the hidden, or inward ones. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْسِبُونَ الْإِثْمَ سَيُجْزَوْنَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَقْتَرِفُونَ. Surely, those who earn sin will get due punishment for their wrongdoings. Now, why don't Muslims understand this? Instead of remembering this, we start saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. Right? That's what we quote all the time, meaning that He is oft forgiving and all merciful. So we expect Him to forgive us and let us get away with whatever we do. But we're deceiving ourselves when we do that. He tells us here that people will be recompensed for whatever they earned, whatever sins they committed. People will experience punishment as a result of the sins they commit. Except if someone turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they repent and stop committing that sin. It's only when they do tawbah and reform that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people. But for anyone who continues sinning, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their wrongdoings, will be punished. And we must understand that a lot of things that are taken lightly nowadays, things that people consider no big deal, are still sins, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us so. No matter how common something is, it's wrong if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that it's sinful. So even if it has become normal, it's still wrong if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that it is. Just as we learned earlier, some actions are not even considered bad anymore, just because a lot of people are doing them, right? In society. So people don't think they're wrong. But we have to define sins according to what the Quran and Hadith tell us. In order to avoid sins, we have to find out what acts are actually sinful. We have to learn about them. And once we know that something is a sin, we can try our best to stay away from it and stop doing it if we have been involved in that sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to repent for our sins and reform ourselves. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And do not eat of that meat on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. We have learned so many ayat about foods that we should eat and the things we shouldn't eat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us before that if we believe in the ayat of Allah, we can't eat whatever His name has not been pronounced on. Sometimes people say that the Quran tells us not to eat whatever has been slaughtered in the name of others. And they say that the disbelievers don't slaughter in the name of anyone in the West. So it's probably okay to eat their meat. But we should know that it's not halal, since Allah's name is not said on it. Remember that this ayah says, "La ta'kulu mimma lam yuzkar ismullahi alayh." Do not eat whatever Allah's name has not been pronounced on. So it's not permissible. But if a Muslim is slaughtering an animal and they forget to say the name of Allah while doing it, if they forget to say Bismillah or Allahu Akbar, we can eat it. Because if that Muslim did read anyone's name on it, if they were to read someone's name on it, pronounce someone's name, it would have definitely been the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "My ummah is forgiven for doing something out of forgetfulness or if they're forced to do something." So if we forget while doing something and then we make a mistake, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. Or if we're forced to do something, like we learned already about how if a person is forced to eat a little bit of something that is normally forbidden just to be able to survive, they are allowed to eat it. Normally, that source of food would have been haram, but just because that person is forced to eat it because there is nothing else around, and they're about to die, like they're stranded somewhere where there is nothing halal, and they know that they're gonna die if they don't have a little bit of something, then they're allowed to eat just as much to be able to survive. However, if someone doesn't say the name of Allah on purpose while slaughtering the meat, then it's not permissible to eat. And we hear a lot of people even say that the name of Allah wasn't said while slaughtering an animal, but we can say it now afterwards before eating it and it becomes halal. But let's see what Aisha radiallahu anhu told us. She asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam what to do when new Muslims sent them food, because there might have been a chance that they may have forgotten to say Bismillah, right? Because they were new to Islam and they weren't used to doing it yet. He advised her to say Bismillah before eating it and just eat it. But that's the situation it was allowed in. Basically, if Muslims forget to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while slaughtering. Okay? We have to keep that in mind. But people twist the meaning of that hadith and they say that you can say Bismillah and eat all kinds of meat, even if they were not slaughtered according to Islamic rules. This isn't what this hadith means. This hadith was about people who were actually Muslim and may have forgotten. So when in doubt, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised to read Bismillah at the time of eating. Okay? It doesn't mean that we can just take the meat that anyone slaughtered and eat it when we know that it's not halal, and just read Bismillah before eating. Anyone who slaughters the animal has to be sensible, mature, and they must be Muslim. And then it becomes a biha. Okay, that person has to be sane. That person has to have reached the age of maturity and they must be Muslim. These are the conditions of making that animal zabiha. And a woman can also slaughter an animal. So it doesn't have to be done by a man. We also learned earlier that the zabiha of the Ahle Kitab is lawful. Right? The zabiha of the people of the book is lawful too. When the name of Allah is pronounced on it and the blood flows from it. So as long as those two conditions are met, the meat that is slaughtered by the people of the book is allowed. Okay, we're allowed to eat it. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is pronounced on it and the blood flows from it. But if a polytheist is slaughtering an animal, someone who commits shirk, or an atheist who doesn't even believe in God, even if they do it according to how we do it, by pronouncing the name of Allah and letting the blood flow, we cannot eat it because they're not Muslim. They're just saying the name of Allah, but they don't mean it, right? So even if they say Bismillahi Allahu Akbar while slaughtering it and they let the blood flow, it's still not halal. We have to remember that. So the person slaughtering the meat must be Muslim, no matter where we buy the meat from. Okay? This is why kosher is halal. We're allowed to eat kosher meats because the Jews do say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they slaughter the meat. Like us, they say in the name of the God of Moses. And obviously the God of Musa alayhi salam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Christians use the same method of letting the blood flow, but they don't say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their meat is not lawful for us. And we should know that while slaughtering an animal, cutting off the whole neck is not allowed. It should be cut just enough to let the blood flow properly. But if it happens by mistake that the whole neck is cut off, like the case of a chicken, for example, if someone is slaughtering it and then all of a sudden the whole neck is cut off, even though they intended to cut it slowly and let the blood flow, but it just got cut off because it's so small. If its neck is fully cut by mistake, it's still halal. It does not become haram. It is zabiha because it was done by mistake. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقُ. And indeed, it is surely a transgression. It is a great sin to eat the meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has not been pronounced on. Allahu Akbar. So, if anyone is eating haram meat, they're committing a sin whenever they eat a meal. Astaghfirullah. That means that haram food is entering their body every time they eat. And now, we learn again about how the devils inspire others to sin. وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. And indeed, the shaitans inspire their friends that they should argue with you. They indicate to their friends that they should dispute with you. What did they inspire? Well, let's look at the example of the Mushrikeen of Mecca. Let's study from their example. They said to the Muslims, it doesn't make sense for you all to say that it's haram to eat whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes to die, when you say that it's halal to eat what you slaughter. Okay, so they said this in a way to create doubts in the minds of others. And they said this to the devils among the humans to try to mislead others. So those humans would go around and argue with Muslims and try to create problems for them. وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. And if you obey them, most surely you will be considered a mushrik. You will be of the mushrikun. So if any Muslim slaughters in the name of anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or eats whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has not been pronounced on, they are obeying the mushrikeen. They're basically eating dead animals, even though they think that they're only eating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to die, as the mushrikeen claimed. But this is the excuse that they came up with, to eat of the haram. So eating the haram is not allowed. It's shirk to eat haram, right? Or unlawful meat. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make the animals lawful, to make them halal for ourselves, to eat according to His rules. But if you follow what someone else is telling you, ignoring the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's shirk, right? Because you are prioritizing what they're telling you over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you. When you know that the word of Allah is the haqq, it is the absolute truth. And it's very much possible for other people to be wrong if they're not deciding according to the Quran or Sunnah. So shirk does not just mean to worship someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean to just invoke someone else for our needs or to worship someone else. It can mean to give more importance to what someone else has to say, what someone else decides or feels or judges for us, instead of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. So we are not allowed to give more importance to what anyone else has to say compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Okay, we can't give more importance to what they say than what Allah says, because that is shirk. So if someone eats whatever other people tell them to, that they eat something that has been slaughtered in the name of another, that has been dedicated to their idols, or something that has not been slaughtered Islamically, meaning that Allah's name is pronounced on it when it's being slaughtered and the blood flows from that animal. If those two conditions are not met, we are not allowed to eat that animal, okay? Because it has not been slaughtered according to the rules, the instructions given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't take other people's word when they say, oh no, it's fine, just eat it. Even if it was slaughtered unlawfully, just read Bismillah and eat it now. Or even if it was slaughtered by a non-Muslim. Okay, we can't do that. So if people eat whatever others tell them to, if Muslims are just following what others are telling them instead of following the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly given us, they are committing shirk. And we know that shirk is the sin that is never going to be forgiven. So nobody can ever get away with committing shirk. So we have to take all measures to avoid committing shirk. It's extremely important for Muslims to be careful about the foods we eat and to know what the zabiha actually is, so we can follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules when it comes to making that animal lawful for ourselves to eat. Because it is not lawful to eat an animal that has not been slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pronouncing the name of Allah on it when it's being slaughtered, or letting the blood flow. Okay, it's not halal if those two conditions are not met. We must keep that in mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against the haram. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. We'll finish up here for today, inshallah, and we'll continue these ayat next time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya rabbal alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.